we give all of the glory to our God and Father in heaven for this first day of the week. We are here to worship God, to give high praise to His name, to respect His will and His way, and to look forward to a better land, on a better day, in a better place, into the ages of the ages, world without end. Amen. We live on the earth. We see human beings. We are human. But one day, we will know a place like we have never known before.
Amen.
One day, we will hear things that we have never heard before. One day, we will see things that we have never seen before. And it's all in perfect harmony and in making of the will of God. And I thank God every day, and you do as well, for the days that He has given to us to be alive and to fare well to the best of our ability. To have eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to reach out and touch, hearts to understand and to express love. God has given us things that we must appreciate every day. That we rise up and see the bright sunshine, and every night that we lie down and have seen the moon kiss the heavens as it stands until that morning comes. God is good, perfect, holy, righteous, forgiving, loving in every way. We have limitations on the earth. We only see so much. We only hear so much. We can only feel so much. But one day, when get up morning comes, one day, when we have made the last step on the seashore of time, one day, when we have heard the last words on this earth, we will know a much better place and home that reaches out to us now. May we expect, hope, and pray for that time to come when we can hear the sweet welcome home. Aren't you looking forward to it, young man? You, young man, and you, young man, and the others who are youthful and vigorous, we're hoping and wanting that day to come. It will. I love every one of you, and I know you love me because you prayed for me at a time that I was unaware of the reality of what was going on around me in this world. And I thank God. For every prayer that you prayed night and day, that I would be able to get out of the bed of 3 hospitals and to learn to walk and talk again. And guess what? What you see is what you get. Thank you for everything. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. And thank you for being in this place this morning, that we can study God's Word together and to see what it teaches us so that our hearts can reach out and we can yearn and cry out to God for that better land and that better world. I appreciate the singing that we were able to participate in, the prayers that we were able to hear, the Lord's Supper the fruit of the vine and bread without leaven that we were able to eat, to take our minds back to that memorable time that our Master was dying on the cross for the sins of humanity. He was the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. And thank God for what King Jesus did to give us a true and deep perspective about life. Life here, but more about the life which is yet to come.
Amen.
Thank God for it. I'll take a few moments this morning in this lesson to talk about the greatest book that mankind has ever known. The greatest book that humanity has ever had. The book tells a story. The book shows us what God expects us to become. The book about which I will speak shortly shows us the past, the present, and the future. For instance, the very book called the Bible, the book of all books, tells us within its pages whose words it contains. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, that was read for us, is so clear. Paul tells Timothy that he knew the sacred writings from his childhood. And then Paul says in verse 16, all scripture was breathed out. It was God breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, completely equipped with every good work. Now notice the words that all, not some, all, not most, all, not much, all scripture was breathed out by God.
Amen.
And that includes the words of scripture. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, Paul even said, when he writes to the congregation of the Lord Jesus in Corinth, and he writes to her, to that group, and tells them the following. In verse 11, Paul says, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person that is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He goes on. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that were freely given us by God. Now notice the words of verse 13 very carefully. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. So Paul says that God has revealed his mind through the Spirit of God, who took the things from God's mind regarding redemption and revealed them to men, particularly to the apostles, the ambassadors of Christ, the men who would be agents of Christ, who would travel and proclaim the word of God. Thank God that what we have in the greatest book that the world has ever known are the very words of God. Not merely ideas that came from God, not merely concepts that came from God, but the words that came from God. Jesus said to the apostles, that is, the men who were his selected ambassadors, who, when Jesus would ascend back to heaven, when he would go back home, the men would go about proclaiming the words of glad tidings to the world that lived then and that would listen. Jesus said to them in John 16 and verse 12, "Many things I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak by his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So there we have Jesus telling his apostles that they would be guided by the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit would not be speaking to them on the basis that the message would come from the Spirit's own authority or initiative, but the Spirit would be revealing to them the mind, the words of God, that God would have human beings to hear, to obey, to live by, and to die in, so they could have hope. The greatest book ever known by mankind contains the words of God. Amen. That's the point that I made, and that we believe, we know. When I pick up my Bible and read, I must take it seriously, because what I am reading, though it was written by Moses, written by Samuel, written by Ezekiel, written by Isaiah, Micah, Daniel, Malachi, Matthew, James, John, etc., those words didn't come from them. They were not the originator of those words. They were the writers of those words, the preachers of those words, but the words came from the very mind of God. Number two, the greatest book that mankind has ever received tells us about the physical creation and how it happened. And it tells us about the spiritual creation and how it happens. There are two creations. One involves the physical world. The next involves the spiritual world. People who were born again. Now let's go back and see what this greatest book that mankind has ever known says about the physical creation. We mentioned in the study this morning that Moses, the one through whom God wrote what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, he said in Genesis 1:1, and what a way to open up God's mind to human minds. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When did it happen? In the beginning. Who brought it about? God. How did he do it? God created. What did he make? What did he create? The heavens and the earth. That's what the book says, the greatest book ever known by mankind. And the Bible is clear in that it tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. That does not mean that evolution brought things about. Evolution didn't do it. Evolution is not reality in the sense that many modern scientists, many professors, even professors in biblical colleges, based on religion, will often say that evolution brought about what we think when we look about. But the Bible takes that away from all and says, in the beginning, God created. And the word created is a term that in Hebrew, which was, of course, the original language of the Old Covenant, except for parts of Aramaic, the word is bara. And bara means, in the beginning, God brought into existence what now exists, not from what was already made, but he made it all from nothing.
Amen.
Did you hear me, my young friend? She's like, back up. But the point is, God spoke and it happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All that exists, he made it. Actually, in Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, this is what is written. By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. And the word host is an interesting word, because the term host in our English Bible also means army. The Old Covenant talks about God as being Lord of hosts, or Yahweh of hosts. That really means Yahweh of armies. At God's command are myriads and myriads and myriads and myriads of holy angels. Armies the likes of which mortal eyes have never seen. But one day, we will. See? We will know. And we'll get to that, oh, within about 17 minutes and 9.3 seconds. Check your clock, your watch. I may miss it by a quarter of a second, but it's going to be real close. But he said, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. He spoke things into existence. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. God gave command and it happened. God spoke and it occurred. God called out and it came into existence. Now in verse 9 he says, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The power of God's word. That is how the world, the physical universe, as we know it, as we see, the book tells us how it came to be. But there's a spiritual creation. And by spiritual creation, I'm speaking about another world, another element of existence that involves our soul, our spirit. The real person within that can and should turn to God. This new creation, this spiritual creation, is also explained in the sacred writings as to how the process occurs. James 1:18 and 21. God's word says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then in verse 21 he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. So the point so far has been this. The greatest book that mankind has ever known is the Word of God.
Amen.
And being the Word of God, we read it and know from God how He made the universe. He created. Genesis 1, Moses said, and God said, let there be light. He goes on, and God said, let there be a firmament that is a space to separate the water from the waters. Brothers and sisters and friends, let's remember that Moses tells us God said, and it happened.
Amen.
But the spiritual creation, James 1, 18 and 21, how are people made new? It is, as James 1 says, the Word. We are living creatures. We are new creatures. It is by God's will that we are brought forth. How? Brought forth by the Word of truth. The power of God's Word. We live in a day of technical sophistication. Computers, internet, so much has been learned, quote unquote, through the technical processes that brilliant human minds made, so to speak. But there's a better word, a better way that's more simplistic. And it's God's Word and what He told us to become and what to be. Let's never, ever put the Bible aside. Let's never think that it's an antique book of yesteryear. It is the great book of every year, past, present, and our future. The greatest book that mankind has ever known. Thirdly, this book tells us how human beings got here and why. We didn't come from monkeys, apes. Sometimes human beings may act like a monkey, may act like an ape, but we have no physical roots in the ape or monkey business. God's Word explicitly tells us in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, when Moses wrote, he said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. How did mankind get here? How did humanity get on the earth? How did Adam make it? How did Eve come? It is God who said, let us make man. And that was before man was made, before man existed, before man was seen. He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness.
Amen.
And God has given us so much. We're able to think. We're able to reason. We're able to discern good and evil, to choose good and to turn from evil. God is the one who made us. And you know something that is extremely important, and I love to think of this. We may not all look alike outwardly, but the same God made us all. I may be tall, dark, and ugly, but we all are fellow human beings. We all have the blessings of the Word and the hands of God. Without God, we would be nothing. with God, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. It's nothing like having in our own physical DNA the admixture of humanity. And I'm going to make a point now that I never have any right or reason to boast about anything. But it so happened that I was blessed genetically with DNA to have a mixture of what we call the races of man. 19% Irish, 16% French, 44.8% Native American of the Cherokee Nation, and 18 point some percentage of Sierra Leone, which was a Western colony in Africa. And I'm told it was French dominated, and I believe it. But here's my point. I thank God that I have never looked at human beings and judged any human being by what I see on the outside. I'm so grateful that I was blessed to become a human Heinz 57. A mixture of Europe, America, Africa. And we all are related because the same God made all of us. And we love each other. We struggle together as a race. We all are in the human race. We look out and see someone in sorrow, from sickness, from pain, from agony, from grief. Our hearts melt, our eyes weep, and we extend love and compassion to a fellow human being. We have to, and we do, tear down walls and build bridges. On that last day of human history, the things that we have been accustomed to, this side of life, will basically become ineffective and inoperative. Because it won't matter who our mothers and fathers were. It won't matter how tall they were, how short. You know what will matter? Who our Heavenly Father was. I'm so glad that Jesus said in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We did not see spirits with our eyes. A spirit doesn't have color as we do. God is spirit, which indicates God is aware of us. We will one day know God in a way we've not known him. When we get to heaven, who will be there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the holy angels that God made. And you know, a couple of the angels, we're given their names in Scripture. Gabriel, Gabriel, and Michael, the archangel. It is Michael that we read about in the book of Jude that had a dispute with the devil regarding the body of Moses. Man, Satan is something else. He's wilder than a bobcat in a person's house, hopping around and trying to scratch them from the toe up. Satan is active 24/7. So he's arguing about the body of Moses, arguing with Michael. They have a dispute. You know what we are told by Jude? That Michael said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you."
Amen.
Michael knows who the most powerful, the Creator, is, and he knew how to put Satan back in his place. the Lord rebuke you.